Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and I'm glad to be able to share with you in our broadcast for this morning. You tune me in by the way of WIONI 1430 AM or 92.7 FM or over in the Lowader area 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome you to be able to do the broadcast. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM M106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And I'm happy to announce that we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web, both the Ionia and the Greenville station. Others have tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com. I welcome you. Some are listening by the way of my website. And those that are listening by way of my website, or if you want to do that sometime, my website is Pastor Ken Harger. Take your mouse and bring it up over Messages from the Lighthouse, and Current Media will show up. Then you click on Current Media, and the top message is the one that I have there for today. Whatever way you join me, I'm just so pleased that you'll be a part of our broadcast. My message this morning is going to be the benefits of a partnership with God. There's some things that can come into our life as a result of partnering with Him. There's additions to our life that we'd never have any other way except me being a partner with God. And I'll be addressing that in just a few minutes. I need to say thank you, first of all, to Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and she's been very supportive of the broadcast, and I appreciate that so much. Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, thank you for your support. Bill and Judy Hammond from the Belden area, thank you for your support. Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years, and I always like to give an invitation to attend there. I'm not the speaker there, but I still attend there. And the weekend at Shiloh begins on Saturday evening, 6:30. Sunday morning, there's a 9 o'clock service. And then at 10:45, there's a contemporary service. And over in the Greenville area, in the old Calvary Baptist Church, the corner of Grove and Luray Street, we have a Sunday morning service there at 11. That's Shiloh, Greenville area, okay? And I want to give a big thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for selecting my music for the broadcast this morning. I appreciate her ministry, and I appreciate her working with me to be able to do these kinds of things. As I share with you this morning, in the message time that we'll be having, we're kind of trying to get across the idea that God adds dimension to our life that would not be there if we didn't have that relationship with Him. And you know, when I talk about a relationship with God, I love the idea that He wants us to be partners with Him. He calls us sometime in the Bible co-workers, working together, Him working through us. But He wants us to be partners with Him, and we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But to get us started, I just need to let you know I'm over here at the Lighthouse on a Tuesday evening. Had a busy day for Wednesday, so I thought I'd see if I could do it tonight. And so I'm here, and there's not much happening at the lake. It's been a beautiful day today, but it's not real hot. But it's kind of still comfortable. And so we'll get started with our message for this morning. I got a song that is entitled, Where He Leads, I Will Go. Wherever God leads me, I'm ready and willing to follow Him. And I trust that's true of your life. So here we go as we get started for this morning. God's special blessing upon your life. And I thank you for tuning me in today. God bless you.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. I'll go wherever He I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Closer to his side, I sought his will to know, and in that will I now abide. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
This morning, wherever he leads, I will go. I love the idea that we're called upon to follow Jesus. I love that Jesus reminded us that he's the good shepherd, and we are to follow him. The sheep follow the shepherd. I remember working on the farm, and your cattle, you would drive. But sheep follow. And we want to follow the Lord Jesus. And so we want to hear the message that he has for us so we can follow him just a little better, maybe even just a little closer. But before we do, I want to pray for you, the listening audience. You're the reason I'm over here to the Lighthouse this evening. I want to share a message with you. I want you to know that I care for whatever you're going through in your life. And I want to pray for you and your family. The listening audience this morning. And also I want to remember any unspoken requests you may have. When I come to that part of my prayer, if you just focus on whatever that unspoken request is, I'm going to ask the Lord Jesus to meet that need according to his will in your life. So let's just bow together for a moment. Dear Father, once again we come into your presence. What a privilege we have to come right boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain help and find mercy in a time of our need. And Father, that's what I want to pray for this morning. I want to pray for whatever the needs are of the listening audience. I don't know what all their needs are, but Father, you do, and they do. So right now, I just want to focus on whatever the needs of every person that's got me tuned in this morning. Whatever their need is in their life, would you be pleased to meet them at the point of their need? And dear Jesus, I know this about you, that you never leave us where you find us. You always take us forward. And so, Father, I want to pray that for the listening audience. Meet them at the point of their need, but then take them forward to wherever they need to do in their individual life. I want to pray especially for physical needs, for spiritual needs, financial needs, emotional needs, family needs, the need of this thing called COVID-19 that's kind of overwhelms us because it's been such a long thing to deal with. The need of coming to a conclusion about an election year. All the things that we hear on the TV and all the criticisms and all that other that goes on. We just pray, Father, you just give us the wisdom to lead in our lives so we know what we should be doing. But most of all, Father, I pray for that unspoken request that our listening audience may have today. Whatever that need is, Father, you know that need. They know that need. So right now, dear Jesus, I'm saying, would you meet the need of every unspoken request this morning? Would they know for sure that you are hearing them as their concern comes to you for whatever it is that's caused them to say, I have a need, Lord, and I need you to help me with it. So would you be pleased to bless, and then, Father, would you honor your word? As we look into your message this morning, we want to learn from you. I enjoy making this study, but, Father, we really want it to be something from you, something from your word that will help us in our walk with you as we follow you. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The message, the benefits of the partnership with God. Today I'm thinking about the benefit of some new power coming into our life. I want to call it the power of partnership. God uses partnerships for his glory. I think of them as divine connections, our means of producing power here on earth. This applies equally to the spiritual as well as to the natural realms of life, such as family, church, government, and even our everyday life, some of the smallest things. I like these words of wisdom given to us in Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise will be wise, but whoever associates with the fools will suffer. In other words, it seems like the people that surround our life is going to make a difference in how our life turns out. Our new power source is described, I believe, best in our identity with Christ in our new creation. One of my favorite verses in the New Testament, talking about what it means to be born again or to be a believer, is in 2 Corinthians 5:17-19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And then listen to what he says. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and not imputing their trespasses to them. And he's committed us to the ministry of the word of reconciliation. God's brought us close to him. God's brought us within a partnership with him. And it's a brand new relationship that we have the privilege to come to. Old things will pass away, and all of a sudden we'll be thinking in new ways. We'll be thinking more like the Lord Jesus, more like God's word does. And that's important for us to get a hold of. We're still going to be living in this world, but we're going to have some wisdom that is not of this world. And I believe that adds a new dimension to our life. This new power of Christ living in us, and then Christ giving us something to do. And I love it that he wants us to be helping other people understand that God wants to reconcile them to himself. Partnership is our connection to God and his connection to us, connected to one another. You know, that's what God teaches in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4:11-16. God says, you know, to the church, he gave some apostles, He gave some prophets, he gave some evangelists and pastors and teachers. And that was for the purpose to help equip the saints, that's you and I, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. God wants the body of Christ to be built. He wants it to be more and more believers every week, every year, until we attain the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. God wants us to be mature in manhood to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, not measuring ourselves by one another, but measuring ourselves by the fullness of Christ, so that we would no longer be a child tossed to and fro by every wave and carried about with every wind of doctrine by human and craftiness that is in the deceitful schemes of the world today. Rather, God said, I want you to be speaking in love. We are to grow up in every way in him. Christ is going to be the head with whom the whole body is going to be joined together. And it's going to be held together properly. It makes the body to grow so that it builds itself up in love. In other words, the power of partnership with God is a result of believing in God by faith. And this gives birth to hope, to joy, and to peace. But it wants to be maintained as we work together and we commit ourselves to not only God, but to one another. For I am not ashamed, the Apostle Paul said, of the gospel of Christ. Now listen to what he said. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. God wants us to know that there's a spiritual power, that if you want to get the most out of life, you need to have some of this spiritual power. You know, I lived the first 17 and a half years of my life without any thought of God whatsoever. But I got to tell you, the things that I've been going through in my life ever since I trusted Jesus as Savior, and then to try to reach out and help so many people, to do whatever I can to be assistance, to be what God wants us to be in our work that we do for him day by day. I got to tell you, you can't do that on your own strength. You're not strong enough to do that. You're not strong enough to face the realities of all the things that we see. Sooner or later, I believe it happens in everybody's life, where we come to the realization that we need him. We need help. I can't face this thing called life all on my own. And I got to tell you, folks, I like telling people this because it's true. I believe the older we get, we're going to need more of God and less of things. I believe we're going to need more of people and less of things. God wants us to have a partnership with him, and this partnership with him is going to bring about something that is going to be very special to our lives. It's going to add a power that we never had before. The second thing I would like to have us consider, it's going to add some promises. You know, when you go to the Bible, God's got promises in there that he wants you and I to claim. That he wants us not only to claim them, but he wants us to mix it with our faith and believe what God has said. Well, all the way back to the book of Genesis, one of the first men that was that God used in this partnership relationship was a man called Abraham. He was given a promise to partner with God. God was saying to him, you know what I want you to do? I want you to leave where you are. And I want you to go, and I'll show you a new land. I'm going to make a nation out of you. The nation of Israel comes out of Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. I'll make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and who dishonors you, I will curse. And in all your family, the earth will be blessed. So Abraham went. He just responded. He's going to follow God and whatever God is saying to do. And he took with him Lot, went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from this town that he lived in and was headed to a town that he didn't even know where it was. He's headed to a land that he didn't even know anything about. And he headed to the land of Canaan. God first told Abraham to leave everything that was familiar with him. You know what tells us in that verse that I just shared at the beginning? All things become new when you place your faith in Christ. You know, sometimes we try to figure everything out. But now we got to realize we've got somebody who's going to help us figure everything out. This included his native country, his relatives, his family. God said, I'm asking to leave a lot. But I'm going to tell you, Abraham, it's going to be worth it. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And so he took off. God kept his promise, as we read in Galatians 3:16. The promise was spoken to Abraham and to his descendants. The scripture does not say descendants, but it refers to many. That refers to many descendants. But he said, your descendant. You know what that descendant was talking about? It was talking about Jesus. Christ is going to come through the seed of Abraham, many years later. And God is saying to Abraham way back there, one of these days I'm going to bless all the world by sending my son Jesus. And he's coming through your descendants. He's going to be a part of your life. When we place our faith and trust in Jesus, we become a part of that promise given to Abraham. He said, and a promise, I love the way it is put together. It says, God says, I will bless you. Now listen, not just that you can have a lot of things, not that you can just have a good life. I will bless you and you will become a blessing. That's so powerful, folks. I got to tell you, my life, God has blessed me. But my life, God has used me to be a blessing to others. And that's a beautiful thing. There's a Bible verse that I really like. I just kind of was challenged by it, and I just love the way it says it. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, have sympathy, have brotherly love, have a tender heart, and have a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil, or reviving for reviving. But on the contrary, now listen to what he says. This is our purpose in life. This is what God wants us to do. But he says, bless. Instead of downing somebody, bless them. For to this you were called, that you might obtain a blessing. God has given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises, we might receive the divine nature of God working in your life, the divine nature of God working in my life, and at the same time, we'd be able to escape all the things that would draw us from this world, the things that would hinder us from being a blessing to someone else, because we'd be more concerned about ourselves than we would be about others. So God is reminding us, dear people, he wants us to be a blessing. He's given us power. He's given us promises. I'm using some peas in a pod to help describe this message this morning. And the next P that he gives us potential. Potential. That's one of the things that I love about the Lord Jesus. That's one of the things I love about God's word. It just doesn't see what we can do. Jesus didn't see what just people could do. He saw their potential. That they could do a whole lot more than they ever figured they could do. I'm thinking about potential that can only be received from this partnership with God. And that is, excuse me, and that is a spiritual potential. You see, when before I come to know Jesus, I didn't have any spiritual outlook on life. God wants us to have a spiritual outlook on life. I want to share a story first before I talk about this potential. It's just a simple story in the Bible about Jesus and the disciples. And it's about Jesus using the equipment that the disciples had. Do you know when Jesus was here on planet Earth, he didn't own a thing. He never had anything that he owned. And one day as the disciples were near the shore of a place where Jesus was, all of a sudden a big crowd of people gathered. And he said to Peter, that was one of the fishermen was there. And by the way, Peter was an avid fisherman. He knew how to fish. He knew the best time to use the net, how to use the net, keep the net patched up and everything. He was a tremendous fisherman. And so then he said to Peter, can I sit in your boat while I teach these people? So he had Peter just go out a little ways. That was really smart of Peter, of Jesus rather. You know what Jesus did when he did that? He made an automatic amplifier. Can I tell you, once last summer, I was sitting here in the lighthouse. I had the windows open. Some people in a boat, two men in a boat, they were out probably a couple hundred yards from the lighthouse, and they were talking. And they finally dropped their anchor. They said, go out about 150 yards from the lighthouse. And I caught a whole time of limit right there. So they dropped their anchor and they said, there's the lighthouse, and here we're about 150 yards out. You know what those men didn't know? I could hear everything they were saying. That's what Jesus did with Peter. He had him go out into the water a little bit, and then Jesus started teaching. And his voice could be carried to this huge crowd that had gathered to hear him speak. And when Jesus got done speaking, teaching for the time that he taught, he said to Simon Peter, he said, go out a little deeper, Peter, and let your nets down for a big catch of fish. And Jesus said to Peter, and Peter said to Jesus rather, Master, we fished all night. We're just coming in when you used our boat. We fished all night and we didn't catch a thing. But I love what Peter did. He said, nevertheless, that word is a good word. Nevertheless, at your word, we will let the net down. And they did. And they caught such a great amount of fish that the net was about to break. And they came and filled both. They said to their partners, come on over here. We got enough fish for all of us. So the partners came in another boat, and they filled both boats with the fish. Now, that's a fishing story. That's a big fishing story. I filled a 5-gallon pail before when I was in Canada fishing at Rice Lake. But to fill the boat full, two boats were filled full. That's quite a fishing story. And you know what they did? They had one of the greatest catches of fish that Peter had ever seen. And Jesus said this to him, do not be afraid, Peter. I'm going to tell you what. You follow me. You got the potential of being a fisher of men. You can catch men. You can help other people understand what this gospel is about. So when they got to shore, they forsook their boats and they followed Jesus. This was the beginning of their journey of their spiritual potential. Jesus was letting them know that he was able to do through them much more than they'd ever be able to do on their own. And he wanted them to get a hold of that. One of my verses that I've used for pastoring, especially I've been using it now for my funeral ministry and for my Facebook ministry and then my radio ministry, is this little verse from Ephesians chapter 3:20. I've claimed this promise and I've mixed it with faith. Now to him who is able, to God, who is able to do far more abundantly than we can ask or think. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in these good works. We need to realize that God is saying, when I'm in your life and you are believing in me and you do the works that I have for you to do, you're going to do things that you never thought would be capable of doing. And I got to tell you, God has proved that over and over and over again in my life. I think God is saying to us, you know what? I want you to walk in these works that I've given you to do, because this will help you to reach your spiritual potential. Can I ask a question before we listen to a song? How are you doing on your spiritual potential? Are you about as high as it could be? Or do we need a little assistance? We'll talk about that in just a few moments in the rest of the message. But one of the biggest things that helps us is to realize that when we abide in Christ and he abides in us, when we have this partnership with Jesus, he's able to do through us and in us more than we'd ever be able to do on our own. And God wants you to know that he wants you to have his potential to reach out in your life and to use you for his honor, for his glory. I'll be right back.
Abide with me. Fast falls eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee,
abide in me. That's a good word, a good word of advice. Abide in me. You know what that word abide means? It means you live in me and I live in you. And that's powerful for our lives as we have partnership with God. And we're partnership to get some benefits for our life. And we've always looked at the partnership for the realization that it gives us power. It gives us promise. And it gives us potential. Now I want us to think about partnership with God. You know what it does? It provides provision that we'd never have any other way. That's what that word abide means. The idea that God is living within us. And he wants to give us strength beyond ourselves. He wants to give us things that would be more than what we could ever produce in ourselves. He wants us to realize that sometimes you and I feel inadequate. But God is coming to us and tell us, I'm going to make you feel adequate. I've loved it so much that Jesus often teaches about something in this world around us. You know, he'd use some of creation as teaching tools. He wanted to teach us that God is our God of provision. And you partner with him and he'll provide for you. So one day this is what Jesus did. He's talking to a people around the mountain. And therefore he says, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you eat, or what you drink, nor what your body, what you put on it. Is not life more than food and body, more than clothing? Then this is what he says. Look at the birds. Consider the birds. Think about the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. God feeds the birds. I want you to learn from those little critters. God feeds the birds. Are you not more valuable than the birds? Which of you, by worrying, can add even a partial of a part of an inch to your life? If you're worried about wanting to be short and you want to be taller, by worrying about do you grow taller? He's saying that'll never happen. Consider the birds. And then he looked around and he sees some beautiful flowers. He said, why do you worry about your clothing? Have you ever considered the lilies of the field, how they grow? They neither toil nor spin, yet I say unto them, unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon could have anything he wanted, and he did. But he said, these flowers are more beautiful than Solomon ever was. Now, if the God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow it's gone, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. God is saying, you know what? Because you're connected to me, because you're a partner of mine, because I am in you and you are in me, I want you to consider the beautiful birds and the flowers. And remember, you're more valuable than they. And God provides for them. Then he gives us some promises. Written right down the word for you and I to get a hold of. Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I'm convinced that God who began this good work in you will carry it out to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. God is saying to you, I have no unfinished project. When you partner with me, we're going to finish the course. We're going to do the job, and it's going to be completed. I'm going to work in you, and I'm going to work through you so that happens. And then again in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. God's going to supply your needs. God's going to take care of you. Now, he may not take care of all your wants, because sometimes we want things that was not maybe good for us. But he said, I will take care of your needs. And one more before we leave this. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, always having your all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance of for every good work. This comes, I believe, because God is reminding us that we have a new power working in our life. We have a new connection. Listen to this verse. His divine power has granted all things that pertain to life and to godliness, that through Jesus Christ and in him, who has called us to his glory, you will find everything you need for life. God is saying, you know what? I've provided. You could work hard and not get this stuff. God said, I've provided what is needed for your life. And not only is it provision, you know what else he's saying? I want you to have some product of your life. You know, when you get a certain age, you look back and think, what did I do in my life? You know, sometimes we don't notice it as we're going along day by day. But life goes by so swiftly. And God is reminding us today that we need to understand that God wants to produce some product out of your life. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, here a while ago somebody said to me, boy, Pastor, it must make you feel good. You went there with that teeny little building that was there at Shiloh. You spent 50 years of your life there. And when you walked away, there was that beautiful campus. A building that holds 600. A huge gymnasium. A whole lot of land that you didn't have before because we bought up everything that was in the area that we could buy up. And they said, that's quite a legacy. But you know something, folks? That to me isn't a legacy. I didn't do that on my own. God did it with me, and God did it with the people we had at that time. We went through some beautiful building projects, building the church as it is at Shiloh, and a lot of people were involved. And many of those people have already went on to their reward. And we're so grateful being able to work with them. But you know what it really is? When it boils down to the bottom line, you know what it's all about? The love you've been able to develop. The love in your life and how you can help others love. The love you have for God and then how you can help others to love God and to see God's love. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is what is called in the Bible the love chapter. And you know something, folks? He goes through all kinds of things, lots of statements that I like to use when I do a wedding about what love is like. But he comes to the bottom verse, 13th verse of the 13th chapter. And God says this, now abideth faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Man, that's a trio. Faith, hope, love. But listen to what he says next. The greatest of these is love. Man, you can go through this world without love and you'll miss all the blessings of God. You can go through this world without practicing love and you'll miss so many blessings of God. So I would need to have us consider today that this thing called love that I want to share some Bible verses about is totally different than what comes from our human understanding of love, what comes from our social understanding of love. I just love this one statement. God is love. And his word speaks of love. Listen to these verses from 1 John 4:7-12. Dear friends, we must love one another because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born from God and knows God. The person who does not love does not know God because God is love. Say that with me. God is love. God has shown us his love by sending his only Son into the world, that we should have life through him. This love is not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be a payment for our sin. Dear friends, if this is the way God loved us, we must love one another. No one can serve God if no one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. We know that we live in him, and he lives in us, because he has given us the Spirit. And that's the idea of the love that God has given to each one of us in our hearts towards him. God's nature is to love. When we've been born again by him, we share the nature. And the second he demonstrates that nature to us in history by sending his one and only Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only one Son. Another way that God said it, he says this in Romans, but God demonstrated, not just saying words, I love you, God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still sinners, enemies of his, Christ died for us. I love the way it was stated. Dear friends, if this is the way God loved us, we must love one another. That's what God wants from us. God's love will never separate us from the promises. God promises you will never be separated from God's love. I love the way it is in this last verse that I want to quote from this thought. Romans 8:38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is reminding us that he loves us. And because we're partnering him with him, remember what we said? The people you surround your life with, you become like those people. God is saying, I love you, and I want you to love others. And God's blessing is that he loved us, and he wants us to bless others as we would love them. Don't have very much time left, but I want to spend the next couple of 3 minutes or so on one other thought that I want to share with you, and that is God wants us to have some prosperity in our life. I'm really slow to say these kinds of things because you know, there's a lot of preachers today, many of them on TV and others as well, but they talk about partnership with God and he just provides all the money and clothes and houses and all this kind of stuff. That's not the kind of prosperity God wants for you and for me. You see, what we need to understand is all those things we're going to leave behind. When God wants us to prosper, he wants us to prosper in such a way that we're going to be doing something on planet Earth that's going to count for eternity. I love the idea of prosperity. Again, God went back and he used a tree. And this is what he said about a tree in the Old Testament. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the things of the Bible. And in the things of the Bible, he meditates day and night. Now listen to what he says. When you do this in your life, you watch your way your life is lived. You watch and not letting other people control you with their bad habits and so on. Then he goes on to say, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. First, it's a tree planted. And it's planted right by the rivers of water. And this tree brings forth its fruit in its season. This leaf does not wither. Now listen to what he says. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. God wants you to prosper. God wants me to prosper. He wants us to understand that's the way it is supposed to be for our life. When you partnership with Jesus, Jesus said this when he was here, I have come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. And God is saying, I want you to have out of your life some things that would never happen any other way. It's just because of what God does for us. I love this verse in Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For now listen to this. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. We're hoping to take a trip up to my cabin. One of the reasons I want to do that is because of the changing of the colors of trees. And I got to tell you, God's telling us, those trees are beautiful things in your life and in my life. Got a song I want us to listen to. And this is God's song is telling us when we all gather together, what a blessing that is to our life. And we want it to be a blessing to our life. And then I trust that God will bless you today. Thanks for putting up with me. Thanks for sharing my, letting me share the message with you. And God bless each and every one of you with his love.
Rich and the poor, get together with the Lord. Get together with the Lord.
Well, they will
treat each other like sister and brother when they all get together with the Lord. Sister and brother, when they all get together with the Lord.
Now when the tall and the small get together with the Lord, get together with the Lord. Well, the weak are no longer afraid of the stronger when they all get together with the Lord.
Sister and brother, when they all get together with the Lord. Well, God has no favorites, he just loves us all the same. His Son died to save us and to keep us in his name. And soon we'll rise to meet him, and forever we will reign and we will sing, sing. Sing, sing, sing now when we all get together. When we all